Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Immigration, the APA, and Prosecutorial Discretion Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 23, 2016, the Supreme Court decided United States v. Texas. This case relates back to the Department of Homeland Security's 2012 Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which set forth special criteria to direct how DHS should exercise prosecutorial discretion in enforcing federal immigration laws against certain young persons. In 2014, DHS issued a memo that then expanded eligibility under DACA and directed establishment of a similar program for the parents of DACA-eligible persons, Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents. 26 states sued in federal district court to prevent the DHS from implementing DAPA, arguing that DAPA violated the Administrative Procedure Act because it had not gone through a notice and comment process and was moreover arbitrary and capricious. The states also argued that DAPA abrogated the president's constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. The district court concluded that of the suing states, Texas had standing and temporarily enjoined implementation of DAPA after determining that Texas had shown a substantial likelihood of success on its notice and comment claim. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit affirmed that ruling and further held that the other states had standing and has shown a substantial likelihood of success on both the notice and comment and arbitrary and capricious components of their APA claims. The Fifth Circuit did not reach the Take Care Clause claim. The four questions before the Supreme Court in this case were: 1. Whether a state that voluntarily provides a subsidy to all aliens and deferred action has Article 3 standing and a justiciable cause of action under the APA to challenge the Secretary of Homeland Security's guidance seeking to establish a process for considering deferred action for certain aliens because it will lead to more aliens having deferred action. 2. Whether the guidance is arbitrary and capricious or otherwise not in accordance with law. 3. Whether the guidance was subject to the APA's notice and comment procedures. And 4. Whether the guidance violates the Take Care Clause of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3, a question the court itself directed the parties to brief. An equally divided Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the Fifth Circuit in a single-sentence per curiam opinion, thereby leaving the district court's injunction in place. To discuss the case, we have Josh Blackman, who is Assistant Professor of Law at South Texas College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Blackman.
8 justices released a decision with 9 words. The judgment is affirmed by an equally divided court. So my job is fairly simple. There is no actual opinion to discuss. The important part is what comes next. So by way of review, this case involves the state of Texas's challenge to the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans, an executive action that would have shielded from deportation and granted lawful presence to about 5 million aliens. The federal district court in Brownsville issued a nationwide injunction putting this policy on hold. The case was appealed up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Fifth Circuit agreed. Then the case was appealed to the Supreme Court. It was argued. When the case was granted, there were 9 justices. When the case was decided this morning, there were only 8, and they divided 4-4. I think this is very significant because, as they often say, the Chief Justice has a habit of breaking my heart in June, as he's done with Obamacare in the past couple years. Here, no one is willing to budge. It was a 4-4. Okay, that's the easy part. Now, the hard part is what comes next. I can say with a high degree of certainty that this policy will not go into effect while Barack Obama is still president. I can say with a high degree of certainty. What happens next depends on the outcome of the election, which I don't want to talk about on a federal society call, but I'll say hypothetically, if it goes one way, the next administration will simply not enforce DAPA, and this case disappears. If the election goes the other way, then this policy will continue to be defended. Okay, so let's assume the latter. Let's assume that the next president and his or her attorney general decides to pursue this policy. What happens is this. We go back for a trial. This was only an appeal on a motion for a preliminary injunction. We've never actually had a summary judgment. So at this point, Texas will seek summary judgment in their favor. And Judge Hayden and Brownsville may hold a trial. Maybe he'll resolve on the briefs. Who the heck knows? After it goes through a trial or a summary judgment, whatever, we get a judgment, goes an appeal back to the Fifth Circuit. perhaps the same panel, perhaps a different panel, I do not know. And then we have to do it all over again before the Fifth Circuit. And only then do we come back up for certiorari for a Supreme Court decision. That could take a lot of time. It could be all the way until next year before we actually get a decision on the merits. Perhaps by that point, we'll have nine justices. Who the heck knows? Now, short of that, a couple other possibilities. The Justice Department can petition for what's called a rehearing at the Supreme Court. Again, I don't see this as particularly likely until there's a ninth justice, because why are the justices going to hear the same case over and over again? They weren't able to reach a compromise. I think a couple cases this year, absent Scalia, they reached compromises, not here. Another possibility, and this one I've seen floating around on Twitter and elsewhere, is that perhaps some of the liberal states that like DAPA, or perhaps some of the various groups that support DAPA, can bring a lawsuit in a different state with perhaps a more favorable circuit court to create a circuit split and then bring this case back up. I still haven't seen a compelling reason why this argument makes any sense. I'm open to be corrected. If they're correct that DAPA is merely discretionary, and I don't think that's how that works, but let's assume that DAPA is purely discretionary. You can't sue the president to give executive action that's discretionary. The entire point is it's discretionary. More so, while Texas has a theory of standing that I think does work, these other groups simply don't. You can't be injured by the lack of a discretionary executive action. The entire point is it's discretionary. The president does not have to give it. So I think in all likelihood, what happens next is that this goes back to the trial court. We get some sort of a final judgment, whether it's summary judgment or a permanent injunction or whatever it happens to be. It goes back up to the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit will do its thing, and then it goes back to the Supreme Court. There may or may not be a ninth justice at that time. But at that point, assuming there's a ninth justice, that will probably go a long way to deciding what happens next. But I want to pause briefly and mention this case has come a very, very long way. When this was first filed by former Texas Attorney General, now Governor Abbott, back in late 2014, most people ridiculed the suit. They said it was stupid. There are shades of Obamacare here. People saying this suit makes no sense. It got four votes. It got four votes. I should disclose I filed briefs in this case, so I have a dog in the fight. But I think it's simply remarkable that once again, a legal challenge filed that people said was an absolute joke got four votes at the Supreme Court and had a pretty divided argument. And this is with the Chief Justice, who has shown he goes out of his way to defer to acts of Congress and to save things that perhaps should not be saved. We'll write about for years about why this particular action went down the way it did. But this is a testament to people in Texas and the other state attorneys general who were somewhat early goers in bringing this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.